T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Dig your cleats in.
Line drive sailing away from Mullins.
Oh!
An impossible catch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
What did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
Covering all things baseball, the big leagues, and the MLB to Portland.
And there's another rocket. Mike Trout has tied it up with an absolute bomb to the top of the facade in left center field. Talk about Stanton territory. Trout hammers it, and it's 4-4, 473 feet.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner. Let's go! Pregnant pause.
This is not my mic condom. I need to make a switch before I...
Well, you gotta be safe, Joe.
Catch the ick.
You gotta be safe.
There's some sort of crumbs and things on this.
Does the mic condom prevent you from COVID?
I think it did. You know how many lives these things saved?
If you have your
COVID.
Own, yes, I think it did.
Just about as many as the pool noodle in the golf hole at the golf course.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You're not a golfer, but that was one thing that they did.
Like, you use the pool noodle to get your golf ball out of there?
No.
I just see him putting it in the hole, and, like, if you shove it hard enough, the ball will go in the tube,
and then you
pull it out.
Yeah. No, what they did, like, golf courses, they took a pool noodle and just cut off a little enough of it to go in the golf hole, so that way if your ball went in the hole, it would rest kind of at the top there, so that way you weren't reaching all the way into the hole to get the ball, therefore leaving your COVID germs behind.
And then we found out that COVID wasn't passed by touch.
I don't know. I'm not a scientist. I don't remember that part.
Well, that's what we learned in the restaurant biz, is we thought, you know, you got to sanitize every table extra hard, wear gloves, do all that kind of stuff, and then we found out that it's actually just airborne and not by touch.
But if I had the vid and I just sneezed all over this faux marble table, and then like a half hour passes and you put your hand where I sneezed.
Well, no, because a half hour passes and that's good. But if I put my hand right where you sneeze,
the germ dies off.
Yeah, in like 5 seconds. Then yeah, but that would still be airborne.
You know, I'm surprised that we don't know this, because it seemed like everybody became a virologist.
Virologist.
Yes, words. During that time, so you know.
Well, it's, you know, I mean,
crash course in virology.
You know, everybody's an expert on Israel and Gaza now too. I don't know how we haven't figured out this problem for 2,000 years.
We could do the whole 2 hours on that.
Yeah, these people have been fighting each other for 2,000 years. Oh, now we got experts. Oh, okay, that's what we're doing.
Dude,
here.
Just wait until we get to September, October. I'm going to know the ins and outs of our political and election system just better than anybody.
Yeah, like I'm totally into this, like, Ticketmaster antitrust stuff, you know, and it's like, thank God I am not trying to tell people I'm an antitrust expert, because I don't know how it works, because I feel like Microsoft and Amazon and all these people have been getting away with it for decades. I'm not just going to pretend to you that all of a sudden, yeah, right now I know what's going on.
Well,
I can tell you why Ticketmaster is bad, but I don't know anything about antitrust.
Well, I would say
sounds like rich people.
Give me
yes, very.
Give me the internet, and 15 minutes, and I can tweet off all sorts of stuff to make it seem like I know about antitrust laws.
If you were somebody that were screenshot as a meme in the things, or in a, as a tweet in the things that I see, you're probably wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's a good chance.
If somebody's like, look fair. What this guy said, and I see Joe Fish, F-I-S-C-H-3, I'm like,
and
oh.
It's not sports related, oh, God, in any Joe. Capacity.
Oh, Joe. I'm like texting you. I'm like your mom.
Let me tell you about the economy.
I'm like your mom. I'm like, Joe, you got to stop. Funny. I'm just disappointed in you.
Now, whenever I start my own podcast or something like that, I came to terms that, I think it's just going to be about sports because I don't know anything else. And financial advice.
And half the time,
let me give you financial advice for 2 hours.
Half the time, we barely know anything about sports.
That's true.
Are the Wolves beating the Suns right now? Can anybody give me an update on that?
Big time.
I don't know.
Wolves are up big time?
102-88 with about 3.5 to go. KD is at the line. And
with 3.5 to go?
Yes, 3.5.
Because it was 51-50 at half.
Missed it.
It was 51-50 at half, and I was like, oh, maybe Phoenix can pull one out. Nah. You're 2-7.
I mean, 14.
Or what, 3-6, whatever it is.
14 points, 3.5 left. Is that done? Is that a blowout material?
Even for the NBA, I believe that is done.
I don't know.
3 minutes, I think a run, especially with KD and D Booker, a run can happen, and that's what annoys me about
How
this
did
league.
You sell short of one of the greatest scoring guards in the league, of Bradley Beal?
Grayson Allen?
Oh, it's... We were singing without Joe Fisher on Sports Sunday. We were singing Grayson Allen's praises. Not.
See how I've already become an NBA expert? See, I just did like 2 minutes of research and I got it.
Beal did have a good night so far. I think he's had like 14 points, something like that.
14 points. Wow. Really lighting the world on fire. I'm glad they picked him up.
Well, that's... You guys are talking like you expect scoring outputs like from... What, October, November in this NBA season?
I'm expecting Bradley Beal, Washington Bradley Beal. Thank you very much.
Hey, he was really good there when there was no one around.
Yeah.
Screw his knee up, too.
You read my mind. Basketball, give me the ball, because I'm going to go in. Dunk it!
One of the greatest things ever created.
Round ball rock, baby.
Simply for this show.
There, we got to get the live version of that. Because he, what's his name again?
It's John Tesh.
John Tesh.
It's really amazing what he does with that.
He was doing like some sort of orchestra show, piano show somewhere, I don't know, in like late amazing. 90s. And he does like a live version with the full orchestra behind him, the whole symphony. And that slaps.
Dare I argue there's...
More so than the like pre-recorded version.
Dare I say there's nothing I've ever seen in NBA history that is more impressive than him doing that live.
Yeah, he even does, like, the fake air dribble to get, like, pumped up, and then he's like, yeah!
Well, and then there's the SNL bit, which also might be better than anything I've ever seen an NBA player do.
Yeah, shout out to Tim Robinson.
I'm fairly sure at that concert you're talking about, he started off by playing the original voicemail he left to himself, like, saying, here, I've got this idea for the NBA theme, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and it sounds so close to what it actually ended up becoming.
If you send me a voicemail, if I'm, like, your boss, if I'm old Sacramento, if I'm old Jeff Sacramento there, and I'm like, yo, boss, I got a new theme for primetime.
I've been working on
And I'm calling
something.
Him. It's like 1 a.m, and I'm, you know, a little lit. And I'm like, yo, I got an idea, and I'm going to play it for you right now. I don't have the music. I'm just going to, like, vocalize it to you.
You wrote the sheet music down on a napkin?
And I go, dun 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 dun. My boss is going to be like, bro, you need to quit drinking. I need to call your wife. I'm worried about you. This is not great.
Now, he would tell you, that's actually pretty good. We'll think about it, keep working on it, and then you would work on it for like 6 months, and then it wouldn't happen.
However, I will say this. Don Felder, lead guitar player of the Eagles, once called Don Henley, drummer and vocalist and key songwriter for
the Eagles,
and said, yo, I've got this riff. And it was Hotel California.
Ooh.
And he played it on his voicemail.
He's like, dude,
yo,
check
dude,
this out.
Check this
check
out.
Check out this gut buster.
And it's like a top 5 classic rock song of all time. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I would agree.
It's all right.
So the voicemail's not
it's bad.
It's
meh.
But I'll
Hotel
tell you
California.
What, if somebody's like, how does this song go? It's like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. You're like, got nothing.
You're like, dude. Yeah.
Is this the Doug theme song? Is this the Doug theme song?
Give me some of that.
We should get that as a bump back at some point.
Ooh, we should.
We should get some old theme music from Nickelodeon, Disney Channel.
I don't know. I think Nickelodeon is pretty canceled these days.
Yeah, I think, well.
Why? What happened?
If you do like the Hey Arnold, the cartoon stuff,
something
I think that's
that would completely shock you, Joe. It would completely shock you.
Something
if I told
child
you what
actors.
Happened. It would completely blow your mind.
And Hollywood executives, how could they?
How could they overseeing children with creepy old men? Oakley Doakley. Well, we got a baseball show for you tonight. There's a lot to get to. We'll get to Fair or Foul at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour, as we always do. The most electrifying player in baseball. I think we've got potentially a new champion for that. Also, maybe we'll get into why the worst team in baseball is as bad as they are, and it's not who you thought. Also, I might maybe a little closer talk. Plus, we'll check in on Mike Trout. Is Mike Trout the next Mike Trout? But before we do any of that, how would you like to... You got fired on your day off? How does that work? Umpires, Yankees. We'll do that next. Hot Corner, 10A The Fan. 718 here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge.
Boy, that fit just so well with those horns.
That is a shout out to the great Mike Lynch, who is battling ALS right now. You can still jump on his GoFundMe and help him out, as he's going to battle a ton of financial issues, and just an absolute wonderful human being. So if you feel so inclined, if you listen to Mike on primetime on this show or a myriad of other things, he's a Syracuse grad. I don't know if you know that.
I did know that.
Yeah, Mike never once talked about being a Syracuse grad. Never once.
One of the unfortunate things about him. I also saw him say the other day that more obnoxious Yankee fan tweets are to come. Absolutely not.
From him?
Yes.
Oh, please no.
Absolutely not.
Mike, I love you, dude.
Absolutely not.
But no.
We'll give you a pass for a bit, but no.
But speaking of Mike Lynch and his beloved Yankees, my friends, I don't know if I've ever seen this before, but boy, did it kind of make me happy.
This was so great.
If you've listened to this show, you are fully aware that the two worst managers in Major League Baseball, according to my opinion, which is King and Rules of All, because of all things...
I am 1080 The Fan.
The two worst managers in all of baseball are Dave Roberts of the Los Angeles Dodgers and Aaron Boone of the New York Yankees. Now, I do want to get into kind of, you know, we've been seeing umpire discretion a lot of late, especially with talk of robot umps and stuff, but it feels like
beep,
the beginning.
Boop, strike three.
I am a. I can't do it.
God,
but
you guys are we in space?
Ball four, take no. base.
No, I just really
turd nugget.
I just really like Grandma's Boy.
But oh,
there's
yes.
so many quotes from there.
Adios,
that I just
turd nugget.
Can't say on online. Bunch of CB cars.
Please bleep. Yeah.
S week.
So I do want to get into are we seeing an egregious amount of umpires calls lately in baseball, or is this just par for the course and we're early in the season and we love to talk about it? But before we get into that, Aaron Boone was ejected yesterday, four pitches into the game, for something a fan said.
I think that was you behind him. You're like, I think I might be able to get this guy tossed.
And I love that the camera angle clearly has the dude in it saying something. And Aaron Boone's response after being thrown, I mean, like, I'm curious. I want to know what the guy said. You're four pitches in.
Well, I did watch the John Boy
Your
breakdown.
Mother is a whore.
Like, even though they said, we're not going to need the John Boy breakdown.
You're getting one.
Oh, he still gave it.
John Boy, a man of the people.
Dude, the way he reads lips and does those breakdowns is absolutely amazing. But I think it was something along the lines of, come on, home plate, or home plate, come on. It was
something like
that. Home plate something is what the guy said.
Four pitches into the game?
Yes.
And Aaron Boone gets run.
And the Yes Network had a video angle that they were able
it's
to show
perfect
the
angle.
Guy where, come on, home plate.
It's perfect angle. And he's, like, sitting by himself. Like, and there's no one around him. It's a day game in the Bronx. And those bougie-ass seats are not filled.
Whoop.
And he's just chilling there. And what's But what I think is more hilarious than the fact that a manager gets tossed for something he didn't say is Aaron Boone's reaction. Now, I have children. Joe, you have a child.
I do. Right?
Medium Joe. I got Gio.
Vipers got the win today, by the way.
Go Vipers. How many goals? Did he have 7 goals today?
I think just 2 or 3.
Oh, just 2 or 3.
Yeah,
okay.
10-5 final.
That's
it was a
bring,
tough one.
That's going to bring the average down.
It was a battle.
So we understand children's reactions. I don't think I've ever seen one of my kids have more of a childish reaction than Aaron Boone. He lost his S, which if I'm the ump, I'm kind of going like, whoa, dude.
I would.
Yeah, I would too.
I would lose my mind.
I would have probably turned to him and been like, I didn't say, I think it was that guy.
Have you ever
Maybe that's just who I am.
That's classic.
Like, maybe I'm like a diffuser and I'm kind of like a, hey, whoa. Let's talk about this. I did not say anything. That's dude, we're 4 pitches in the game. Like,
well, didn't he kind of start that way? I feel like it started that way, and it was when he said, I don't care. That's when Aaron started to go, but you don't effing care.
Oh, no. He was losing his mind.
He lost it.
Immediately. As soon as he tossed him. And
again, I love the video of Aaron Boone is him like biting his nails and picking his nose. And he's like clearly sitting there doing nothing and not paying attention to the game like a classy manager would do.
Yeah, he was literally like, could not care less. Like the game had just started. He's like, all right, fine. Like, you know, umpire is like clearly stating his dominance early in the game. Like must have had a bad night of sleep. Maybe was trying to get some from the wife and she wasn't having it last night. And he is just cantankerous yesterday because it was right away. He's like, I don't want to hear anymore. As if the game has been going on for like 7-8 innings.
I do love that the ump doubled down and he was like, no, justified being thrown out.
Oh, no.
The guy literally stood there and did
nothing. John Boy breakdown, because again, he just does such a good job at being able to read the lips. Like, he at one point admits to Aaron Boone, he's like, you're probably right, Aaron. And then Aaron's
but you gotta
like,
go.
And Aaron's like, I am effing right. Like,
yeah, I'm not probably
right.
Yeah.
I am effing right.
Sir, this is a children's show. I'm going to need you to hold down on the swear words.
Yeah, you're probably right, Aaron.
No, let it go. I want to hear that. I want to hear more of those convos.
Listen, I don't blame Aaron Boone's reaction at all because Dave Chappelle's got a great bit about this, like being accused of something that you didn't do and that person just doubling down like, I know you did. Like,
if the glove don't fit, you
me.
Must acquit.
I'll kill you. Like, just that is one of the more infuriating things, especially when, oh, dude, I think you said this. Like, no, I didn't say that. I think you said,
I
didn't effing say that.
Yeah, you're like
you just
F
like,
you, man. I would never effing say that. You're an effing idiot.
No,
if you
I think I heard you say that. Like, oh, my. Ah, like you want to lose your mind.
Did you hear Hunter Rennestad after the game and what he said? Because they do get questions from pool reporters, and his answer went pretty viral on Twitter. Basically said, I've never thrown out a fan or a manager or a player for what a fan said ever in my career. It's like, well, first off,
well,
buddy,
you just did.
There's a first for everything, and you're going to go see the footage. And he went on to basically say, like, Aaron's in charge of his dugout, and the players are there to be watched. And if a fan says something or if a player's saying something, it doesn't matter. Aaron's in charge of what's going on the dugout. And I'm like, wait, what?
Son, I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
What's great, too, is, like, as he starts to get, like, guided away by the first base umpire, like, the behind-the-plate umpire just basically, like, shrugs, like, eh. Like, well, all right. Like, yeah, I probably effed up, but too late now. Can you take back a throwout?
No.
No.
I wish you, like, you know what? First time ever should have been done. Like,
VAR.
My
and
bad.
VAR,
you can stay.
VAR in soccer can rescind a red card, but they won't rescind a yellow card.
I feel like you should be able to rescind a managerial ejection.
It reminds me of this.
We're
going
to go to the tape on to see if Aaron Boone actually did yell something. Oh, he didn't. All right, he can stay.
It reminds me of this story. Me and one of the Uber homies, Nick, we were at a Mariner Indians game. And every time, you know, as a longtime Indian fan, I would always sit on the third base line at Safeco because I wanted to watch Tito. Like, Tito's Tito. He's a Hall of Fame manager. He's He's a wonderful human being and a great baseball mind. And I always wanted to kind of watch him and see, you know, when he would talk to somebody about getting somebody up in the bullpen, or when he'd look at the third base coach and kind of make some signs. And we're sitting there one day, and Fernando Rodney, friend of the show, comes in. This game goes to extra innings.
Long time P1.
Danny Salazar was on the mound for the Indians, and God knows who was on the mound for the Mariners, some schlub. And it's like 1-1 in the ninth. And they bring in Fernando Rodney. And we're looking up at the scoreboard, and Fernando Rodney's ERA is like 6.04.
Shoot the arrow, baby.
And so we are heckling. We are like, we are on the front row. I'm staring directly at Tito.
Bloodthirsty.
And we are heckling Fernando Rodney. 6.04, bro! You gonna give this up, bro? Like, we are laying it onto him. Fernando Rodney strikes out two batters and drops his ERA to 5.97. And we stood up and we're just, you did it, man. You're under six. We believe in you. You got this. And there I look down at Tito, and Tito turns to his bench coach, and they start giggling. And I was like, that coach heard what I said. He heard what I said.
Take that.
And I feel like that guy is going to be like, I once got Aaron Boone tossed, and I hate Aaron Boone. Like, that's me. If I'm a diehard Yankee fan, Mike Lynch, if you're listening, I know you're not, but if you're listening, and if I'm a diehard Yankee fan and I got Aaron Boone thrown out, that'd be the pinnacle of my life.
So the footage that John Boy has and shows is that he says, let's go, home plate. Just really aggressive. The look on that man's face, he is full of piss and vinegar. Let's go, home plate. And then what's great
I love that he's by himself. There's no one around him.
What's great is the YES Network has ends up showing him on the broadcast at one point, and the dude took off his jacket as if to, like, throw the scent off, as if he just committed a crime.
It's not me.
And grew a beard and dyed his hair. Like, maybe if I take my jacket off and I'm wearing a different color shirt, they won't think it was me.
Now, what did I do wrong?
Oh, see, this was just after John Sterling retired. That is something that we are missing from this. If John Sterling could have called that on Yankees Radio Network, that would have been an all-timer.
Going to also bring this up on the Vancouver Ford text line, because I was thinking it, and they said it. You brought up Fernando Rodney, and I didn't hear a siren.
I don't know what it
is. I know
is.
He's not pitching, nor will he ever again, but
well,
it gone?
The Rodney siren got traded out for...
Corey! You thrilled our fans.
It got traded for that.
We need technology and stuff as a drop.
Well, I can't, like, search for anything, so, you know.
I can fix that for you. I can pull an engineer Joey in the break.
And, can you?
Yeah.
Oh.
I know what I'm doing.
Well, I can't, like, add. Like, I know. See how I click edit here? I have no, like, add.
Two things I know my way around. A lady in wide orbit.
Down goes Anderson!
All right, when we come back, let's dive into a real talk. Like, guys, like, Angel Hernandez, obviously, that's the outlier. Like, he's had some bad moments over the days, but it seems like there's been a lot of talk about bad umpiring this of late, this week specifically.
Bleep, blurp, you're out of here.
Is this par for the course, or is this something we really need to focus on?
Oh, buddy, I got some numbers for you.
I would love.
I got stats for your ass.
I would love to hear that. We'll do that next, but first, there's Schultzy with sports.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, I forgot where it was, but it was there. She never left.
I was going to say, like, can we play this on the radio as a bumper? Like,
I know. Am I like, about to get...
Are we about to die?
Is David Field about to email me personally for the first time ever?
No. Maybe.
We're bankrupt, but also you can't play sirens.
I was going to say, maybe a bankruptcy update.
I know, dude. I listen to a lot of 90s hip-hop. There's so many sirens in it, and I'm like, I'm in the car.
I think you guys are fine. I think the rule is you can't play the EAS sounds, but like a tornado siren is fine.
That's
you can put it on the board!
That sound to me now is a nuclear bomb siren. Yeah, or tsunami
true.
Siren.
That's true.
Since we're more so on the coast, that is the thing that we have to worry about.
I haven't played
Can a tsunami reach here?
No. No, they are tsunamis.
Well, yeah.
Pacific Ocean is tsunamis. Hurricanes
well, yeah,
are
I know, but
Atlantic.
A tsunami's not reaching here, is what I'm saying.
There are tsunamis in America.
There's yeah, it's not reaching Portland, though.
Oh, okay. No, no,
for
no.
For the love of God.
That's like some deep impact stuff. Like Dennis Quaid is starring in that movie.
My God.
That's
yeah,
day no. after tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or would there
Jake
be...
Jake Gyllenhaal is like, I can solve this.
Would there be enough water that flows...
Jeff Goldblum's like, well, I mean, life finds a way.
Gerard Butler is car. More so now the one that kind of handles that stuff.
Oh, he's got that. He's yeah. got that torch now.
Would there be enough water that influxes into the Columbia that it would flow all the way down into the mighty Willamette to where we could then maybe see a small kind of ripple wave coming into Portland?
I'm here to find out.
It'd have to be a really big tsunami.
I'm here
like.
To find out. It's hard to get down.
I'm not. I'm cool. I'm cool if we can push the big one back another 100, 200 years, you know, let my son deal with that and his kids and his grandkids.
I told my kids, I told you, I told them the world's dying. And they were like, isn't it weird that the world's dying? They were like, I know, right?
They're already content with it.
Well, there's probably not much they can do. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour...
Morbid.
This
show got really depressing.
We'll talk about my favorite slut in baseball and why the gifts just keep on giving.
Not your words. Somebody else's.
Not my words.
FCC.
Their
we're
words.
In the clear. Okay?
Their words.
We are only reporting
mine.
The news.
And maybe the new most electrifying player in baseball here in about 10 minutes. But let's keep this umpire thing going on. Joe, you were talking to me before we went to break that you've got some stats because I'm curious. Oh. Like, I feel like in baseball, you know, this is different than me saying nobody hates baseball more than baseball. One thing that I've always loved about baseball, and I want to emphasize the word loved about baseball, is the human error. There is a lot of human error in baseball, and not just, you know, Alex Gonzalez letting the ball go through his legs, so we blame Bartman for the Cubs not going to the World Series. But, like, umpires missing calls at first base and just human error, guys seeing things, especially before technology. I love that baseball can kind of create that controversy within itself that's more naturally created than, you know, the media pushing some narrative or some BS like that. So we've seen that a lot. So I'm curious, in the world of Angel Hernandez now, in the world of StatCast, in the world that every baseball television network has the box around the plate, and you can see the movement and how it hits the strike zone, is officiating that out of control, or are we just kind of par for the course?
Well, according to my research, aka this post I found on Reddit, some guy actually crunched some of the numbers from looks like 2015 to 2023, so last season, and he was able to give us some numbers behind umpires and their accuracy.
Oh, I love it. There's somebody posts them for games all the time on the baseball subreddit where you can see a guy like
accuracy chart.
Yeah, the accuracy chart. That. And that's really fun. I kind of look at it from time to time.
Over the last, what is that, eight seasons, everybody in baseball, as far as umpires go, they are getting better at calling balls and strikes.
Really?
In 2015, they were weighted average correct call accuracy for the top five umpires was around like 92-ish, a little bit, like 92.3. They're now at 95.5. The overall was about 90.6, and now it's just above 94%.
So do you think it's more just because of technology that we can, like, see it?
Wouldn't it be the most baseball thing if they were like already using robot umps and like had a microphone in there or a like headset in there telling them the correct call, and because, that's why they're so much better?
Because they can't beat the union. Yeah. So they're just like, hey, just do it. Just don't tell anybody.
Whatever. Just like changing the baseballs, you know.
It's like it's the Illuminati.
Yeah.
They're actually controlling the strike zone right now.
What is absolutely hilarious about this chart is they have like the top five umpires, the overall umpires, the bottom five, even the bottom five umpires year over year are getting better. But Angel Hernandez, he was getting better, and then he dropped last year, like 2022 to 2023. His accuracy went down.
Oh.
And so far, not off to a great start in 2024, Angel.
No, it's been really bad. God. And for those of you that, you know, if you're a casual baseball fan and you're kind of, you know, if you're a casual baseball fan, you're not listening to the show. Hell, if you're anybody, you're not listening to the show.
Hey, that's how we grow the game.
If you're a casual baseball fan, you're sitting there wondering, well, why does Angel Hernandez still be able to call games? Well, that would be the Major League Baseball Umpires Association. Like, labor unions are huge in Major League Baseball. Now, I don't want to get into politics, but I am born and raised as a pro-labor union guy. But these are some of the negatives about unions.
Wasn't your mom like a dock worker or something like that?
My father was a very big, may he rest in peace. Thanks, Joe. He's dead.
I didn't say it.
My father was a big union guy.
I just had the image of your mom being a dock worker, and that just cracked me up. And
hey, get that boat unloaded now.
That cargo should be over here.
Patrick's being born in 20 minutes and I won't be late.
She's ripping a cig while pregnant.
This is the problem with it, is that it helps protect poor employees. And I think the reality right now with Angel Hernandez is he's a poor employee. But if you look at it, he hasn't called a postseason game in almost a decade because Major League Baseball can't control who goes to the playoffs. So he's there. He's got a job because the union protects him, but it's clear that he is struggling, and he's struggled for years, and we aren't even into May, and he is clearly the worst umpire in the history of baseball, and that includes the guy that stopped the 28th perfect game.
Well, I will also say that the
Jim Joyce,
they crunched the numbers, also based on age of umpire and amount of games called. And, you know, usually if you're between the ages as an umpire of 28, man, imagine getting your certification already. It's few and far between how many games are being called at 28 years old. But
you went through the system fast because you have to come up just like a player.
Dude, yeah. So like 28 years old to about like 42, 43, 44, you have generally the highest accuracy, and then it gradually gets lower and lower. But
you don't care.
Yeah. But for some reason, like, it keeps going down into like when you're like 60, 62. If you're 62 and an umpire, you're not making the right calls, it looks like. But then it starts to skyrocket. So as you get older, I guess, your morality increases, and you're like, you know what, I'm going to call this fair, and I like you. Your ego goes aside, and
let me tell you, the strike zone is so huge.
For the love, of the game, I guess you want to make sure you're getting right, because at the age of like 67, 68, they are some of the most accurate umpires in the game. Like, but like I said, between that 28 to 44 age range, that's where you're generally in the best. But then outside of that, if you're like 68 and above, you're calling some of the most accurate games out there. So, again, I don't know if that's just like an ego thing. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I've been doing this for so long, and I'm about to retire. I don't care. I'm just going to make sure I get the right. Who knows the psychology of being an umpire?
You make the point about technology, and I think that it's interesting to not only examine like the, you know, the obvious, like in AAA, they're using an electronic strike zone right now. You guys were joking about that, but the level of eyes and all of social media, the available clips almost immediately after something happens. I mean, remember, this is very similar. Those calls that Angel Hernandez made the other day, they're very similar to that Levon Hernandez NLCS game in 1997, where the Atlanta Braves literally were struck out on probably a pitch 6 inches outside the zone at least 7 to 8 times, and they kept calling strikes the entire game. That was umpire Eric Gregg. I believe he's passed now, but the point is, that was on SportsCenter, but it wasn't immediately on social media for everyone to see. So now everybody's bitching, and the umpires are facing a lot more scrutiny, as they should.
Well, isn't it funny how literally every sport nowadays has a ref umpire controversy and has people bitching and moaning about the refs? Like, every sport, this is the case. Well, like,
what sport do they have to take questions and face any issues for?
Like,
it?
Like, literally, never. Yesterday in the NBA, and I know we got to go, is like, and it ended up actually the refs did F it up, is that 76ers Knicks game. But then at the end of the Lakers game, you got LeBron and Darvin Ham both in, and I'm pretty sure D'Angelo Russell too, all of them in the press conference talking about the refs and how they were calling the game. Like, it is literally every sport. Again, human error, dear God, that if that happens, like, it kills me the amount of complaining that goes to refs, especially when people think like, oh yeah, they had it out for us. Like, oh yeah, they got in a conference room before the game with the MLB, with the NFL,
and they made a
league,
choice.
And they're like, listen, tonight we're going to screw over this team because we need ratings. And it's like, no. All right, let's calm down.
Yeah, sports are not rigged, okay?
Sports is not a movie. It's not a conspiracy, all right? Just people are dumb and make mistakes.
All right, we'll keep an eye on this and see if it gets more egregious. But to Joe's point, the stats are the stats. When we come back, is this the most electrifying player in baseball? We'll get to that next. Hot Corner, Today the Fan. Coming up in the second hour, we'll take a peek. Is Mike Trout the next Mike Trout? Plus, maybe we'll talk a little closers and saves and how that works, plus fair or foul. But I want to get to this. Thank you, Dwayne, for the introduction.
And I know why he was the introduction. Because he is the most electrifying man in all of sports entertainment.
Do you think Stephen A. Smith stole his cadence from The Rock?
No.
The most electrifying man in sports entertainment. And I feel like I am Stephen A. Smith and I know what I'm talking about.
I would love to believe that's how he talks at home. Like, honey, how do you like your dinner? This is terrible. This is the most preposterous dinner I have ever had in my entire life. You should be ashamed. All right. You should take that dinner and throw it in the garbage right now.
Or it's like, honey, I think this is really good. I think you are amazing.
You know,
you ever heard him praise somebody and it's always like, you know what? I think Jokic is really good.
My dad,
I think he shoots threes like no big man ever has.
My dad the other night was like, man, I saw Stephen A. And he was like, for the first time, I saw him like actually like, you know, kind of talking like toned down and pretty serious. And then I found out Stephen A. went on Fox News for some reason. And I was like, oh, that's where you saw Stephen A.
Oh.
That makes a lot more sense because I was like, how does he know who Stephen A.
You know,
is?
I've just never seen a better government. Like, this government's so good. I've never seen a government as good as that.
Well, apparently he was saying that the blacks can relate to Trump because...
disgusting.
Because, you know, he is being...
Numbers show it.
He is being persecuted just like they have all their lives.
You know.
The right sucks, but the left and their identity politics. And Stephen A. apparently has a big opinion about that. I didn't know.
Yeah, so great comparison between the two.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
Is The Rock black?
Yeah.
Maybe there's some possible Filipino in there. I don't know.
We introduced this segment with that because, you know, Joe and I were texting, trying to figure out the show, and Joe asked me, is this player the most electrifying player in baseball? So I naturally go to The Rock himself.
That's what I was thinking when I texted it to you. I think I texted it to you, and I was like, oh, that's very much like what The Rock says.
And I feel like this is not the first time we've asked it on this show, nor will it be the last time. But my friends, have you heard of a man named Ellie De La Cruz?
Oh, have I?
This kid. Now, last year was fun. Remember, he came up last year. It was like really exciting. Ooh, a hot prospect and all this stuff. But he kind of faded down the stretch.
He did. He was starting to strike out a lot more and was not. I mean, he caught fire right away and then it just it fizzled.
And here he is back to his old tricks. Is Ellie De La Cruz the most must-watch player for diehards? I know Shohei is Shohei. Like, Major League Baseball's put all their eggs in the Shohei basket. Japan's the market, the money, the dollars. Yeah, that's Shohei. I understand that. But as far as, like, diehard baseball fans, is Ellie De La Cruz must-watch? Do I need to put on Reds games simply to see what De La Cruz does.
Well, yes, because the Reds aren't the White Sox, so that helps. I mean, they're actually somewhat decent. They're 12-10, I believe, is their record right now, which in Reds' term, hell,
it's like you're winning a World Series.
Yeah, exactly. What a season already. Yeah, dude, like that guy, he is, whether it is base path, whether it is at bat, whether it's in the field, that guy can do it all. And the
well,
way
he's so big at short, like yeah. He's lanky, he's long.
And that's the other thing is like, I think he just like, he is such an athlete. Like he's not some like, you know, podunk 5'9" shortstop that's just getting on base and has a high OBP because he's getting a bunch of singles. Like the dude mashes. The guy steals every single base within 30, 45 seconds. He's like, I'm going to take second and I'm going to take third and you're going to panic and throw the ball past third base. And so I'm going to take home right after that. And then later in the game, I'm going to smash a home run like 450 feet. This dude, like, he is insane. Like, if he can just keep it up over 162, because we obviously saw the fall off a little bit last year, but he has already done something within the first 20 games this year that hasn't, it's only been done once since 1900. He is now one of two MLB players since 1900 to record 5 home runs and 10 stolen bases in the first 20 games of a season. The last time someone achieved the feat was in 1922 when Ken Williams did so for the St. Louis Browns. Go Orioles. So, did you get that?
I did. Okay. I follow. I know what's up.
All right. Well, the St. Louis Browns reference.
Story time with Uncle Patrick. Yeah, I'm aware.
Okay. All right. All right. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, he is must watch for serious baseball fans. And so if that's the case, then MLB needs to start marketing him as a star in the league. And I understand it's only 20 games. We had someone texting in last year at the end of the year and the beginning of this year about his fall off. I get it. But it's clear the way that he played to start last year and the way that he's starting this year, like this dude is phenomenal at baseball. And he needs to be one of their marquee players that they're marketing in the league because it's the flash, dude. Like, that's what I get the old timers, but the way that he plays the game and how aggressive he is and what he can do all over, he has to be a household name soon.
The comp for me, honestly, with Ellie De La Cruz right now, as far as like entertainment and athleticism, he's if A-Rod and Acuna had a baby.
Yeah, I mean,
because Acuna is wildly entertaining.
Well,
right?
That was the first person I thought of.
But A-Rod was also this huge kid that was playing shortstop. Like, that was really fun. And De La Cruz is not the fielder A-Rod was, but he's the entertainer Acuna is. And he happens to play short like A-Rod, but he's big, lanky. See how he grows into his body, runs a little better than A-Rod, but kind of has the flash like Acuna. Boy, he's fun. He's fun. I don't know if since he's going to use him to his full potential.
They better.
But boy, he's fun. And
if they don't, maybe he should just go rogue and do what he wants. Like steal second and steal third and then steal home plate.
Just get the green light. Oh, wait. He's already done that.
Like he is just like, oh, and he had another home run tonight.
Yep. So, oh yeah, won a little money off of that. He's kind of part
That's
of these...
right. You were saying that before the show started. Yeah.
Freaked out because I saw it on Twitter. He's kind of part of these like new wave of young shortstops where, you know, Ellie De La Cruz, O'Neill Cruz for the Pirates. I would even put Bobby Witt, who's like 6'1", 6'2", into this category. They're just bigger. You normally move those guys to third base or like left field, but they're leaving them at short to just show off their athleticism. It's freaking fantastic.
All right, coming up in the second hour, we'll dive in. We'll give you an update on is Mike Trout the next Mike Trout? And also, I want to talk a little about closers and saves and number compiling. Just watching Logan Webb here for the Dodgers. He's got a 4-hit shutout going into the seventh, and he's at like 70 pitches.
By the way, with Ellie De La Cruz, 7 home runs in his last 14 games.
Hey, that ain't so bad. We got a loaded second hour going for you. Do not go anywhere. We'll see you next. Hot Corner, Portland Sports Leader, 10 of the Fan.
Now you're kissing Chase Utley and that's it.
Why are you pushing Chase Utley on me? It's starting to get weird.
This is the Hot Corner.
Okay, look, I have a plan, all right? And it involves you getting this letter to him when you got out there to kiss him. Now, I have given this to Major League Baseball, his lawyer, his manager, his mom, and he has not gotten back to me, which means he hasn't gotten it yet. So just...
Did you write a love letter to Chase Utley?
With Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
In a lot of ways, yes, I do love him, but that is not a love letter in the way that you're thinking of it, okay? There's nothing sexual or...
Okay. That sounds good. I'm gonna read it.
Yeah, read it.
Dear Chase. Oh,
They're stickers. Yeah. My God.
On the Odyssey app.
Dear Chase, I feel like I can call you Chase because you and me are so much alike. I would love to meet you someday. It would be great to have a catch. I know I can't throw as fast as you, but I think you would be impressed with my speed. Did you have a good relationship with your father? Me neither.
And 1080.
These are all things we can talk about and more. I am sure our relationship would be a real home run.
The Fan.
All right, welcome into the second hour of the Hot Corner. If you're missing the first hour, you can download that at the Fan Podcast at 1080thefan.com. Or just download the Odyssey app and you can listen to any of us live wherever you are. Don't forget, there's the Vancouver Ford text line. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit VancouverFord.com, 503-864-6326.
Speaking of the Vancouver Ford text line, I'm pretty sure that this is the same guy that texts us about Ellie De La Cruz. And I don't know if Ellie De La Cruz did his wife.
Did he hurt you?
Yeah, hurt him at some point.
Where on this doll did he touch you?
But immediately, like clockwork, his K rate is insane. Yeah, he has a lot of strikeouts, 29. That is a lot of strikeouts, okay? Welcome to baseball, where they basically endorsed players strike out or swing big. And he has 7 home runs now as of tonight. That little stat I had about the 10 stolen bases in the first 20 games, well, he now has 12 stolen bases to start the season. He is batting .295. He has a .402 on base percentage.
That is great.
Yeah.
If you're over .400 on base percentage, yeah. I love that.
But his
it's like Carlos Santana would hit .225, but his on base was like .395.
Yeah, I'll take an insane K rate if I'm getting all of that.
I think the Mariners want to hire this guy because they really hate strikeouts in any capacity.
What, they want to hire Ellie De La Cruz?
No, they
should.
They want to hire this guy. Well, they should. This guy that says Ellie De La Cruz's K rate is insane. Teoscar's K rate was insane. Look at Hernandez now. He's hitting bombs for the Dodgers.
Well, it helps when you fat pitch to everyone around you.
Fat yeah, dongs, bro.
We'll get to fair or foul in about 30 minutes, plus an update on the next Mike Trout. Is it Mike Trout? But I saw this interesting thing when it comes to closers in baseball and saves, and kind of as the game is progressing and saves are kind of a lot more focused on stat and things like that. Craig Kimbrell just climbed the chart and passed Billy Wagner, ironically his idol growing up, for most saves all time. Craig Kimbrell is now the 7th all-time most saves with 423, Wagner at 22. John Franco.
Did you see how he did it?
Yes, I did.
Suck on that, Mike Trout.
Suck on that. We'll get to that in 10 minutes. He is one save behind the immortal John Franco. And funny enough, 2 saves away from Kenley Jansen. Now, there aren't a lot of save chances in Boston, but Kenley Jansen is still going. But when you look at this list of, and I don't mean to turn this into a Hall of Fame conversation. I mean to turn it into more of just like, how do we value all-time saves? When you look at the greatest closers of all time, there are only 3 in the Hall of Fame, if my memory serves me correct. That'd be Mo, the only unanimous player in the Hall of Fame, Trevor Hoffman, Hell's Bells, and Dennis Eckersley, who kind of, one would say, was the pioneer of the position.
I met a dude this weekend who played high school baseball with Dennis Eckersley.
That's awesome.
And he said he hit a home run off of him.
You know,
was pretty damn adamant.
You know,
so.
I have a buddy who owns a paint striping business in Snohomish who once went 2 for 3 with 2 dongs and a double off Tim Lincecum, all right? That guy still owns a paint striping business.
And he will tell that to the end of his
That's
life.
That's a true story, by the way.
He will tell that until the day he breathes his last breath, okay, that I hit a dong off Tim Lincecum. Just like this guy, I believe his name was Mike. And his Dennis Eckersley story.
Getting higgy with it.
Really quickly, do you count John Smoltz as a closer? Because he spent half his time as a closer, half as a starter.
I don't. I think John Smoltz is an anomaly in the sense that we never really saw guys that were as great of a starter and also kind of change his game to the end. It's kind of like he reminds me a lot of maybe an Andre Iguodala. Like, Iggy was a really, really great player, and as he aged, kind of just morphed his game. LeBron is really good at that. LeBron was the dominant scorer, ball handler, and now he's more of a distributor and a leader kind of thing. I think Smoltz is more like that, although I hate him on television. But what I'm curious in talking about this, like, Kimbrel's at 7 at 423. The guys above him are 424, 425, 437. Then there's a jump to Lee Smith at 478, and then a huge jump to Trevor Hoffman at 601. So, again, this isn't a Hall of Fame conversation. Is Craig Kimbrel Hall? That's not what I'm saying. But as we can see,
Lee Smith is a Hall of Famer, by the way.
Yes.
You left him out.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. But as we see Kimbrel and Jansen on that, will the save be as an important of a stat as, say, RBIs? I know wins was, but quality starts is really going to take that over. Strikeouts, hits. Do you think saves can ever be something where a guy like Craig Kimbrel in 20 years can look back and say, you know, I have more saves than any of these other guys?
You know, it's funny you say that, because when I look at Craig Kimbrel in comparison to someone who's above him on this list, Kenley Jansen, is that when I look at Kenley Jansen and, you know, you saying that he is above him in saves all time, part of me is like, wow, I didn't know he was all the way up there. And then part of me was like, yeah, must be nice when you play for the Dodgers the
right
last 10 to 11, 12 years or whatever.
When I was thinking about having this conversation, I did not realize Kenley Jansen was five all time.
There you go. So,
and K-Rod is right above him.
So, but when I look at Craig Kimbrel, the part that comes to my mind is like, the guy's been doing it over his career for a few different teams. I mean, started in Atlanta, San Diego for a year, Boston,
great,
Cubs, White Sox for a year, went back to the Dodgers, Philly last year, and then Baltimore. So he's kind of like jumped around, and even over these last couple of years, it's dipped. Like, in his,
he was bad in Philly.
In his Atlanta and Boston years, he was putting up 40, 46, 42, 50. Boston, the most he got in a season was 42. Three-time All-Star, though. And then it's dipped over the last few years, and we know this, but when you're still able to have an impact as a closer, like this year he's already got six saves, and we're how many games into it?
But he's on Baltimore, who is a World Series favorite.
Yeah, it's very true. Is that, and you know, he's on Philly last year, good team, 23. The Dodgers the year before that, 22. So, I mean, I think that there is something to the longevity of being able to finish out games like that in high stakes situations and being able to do it over your career for multiple different teams. I think there definitely is something to that. Now, what I feel like we're missing is those, like, when's the last time we've had like an Eric Gagne-esque player
right
or season?
I got 60 saves.
Yeah. Like, and that's
Edwin Diaz, I think, for the Mariners before he was traded.
Don't make me play the song.
Edwin Diaz is actually top 50, by the way.
Well, and then he got injured, and he's since then for the Mets has been great. And there, him and what I would say Josh Hader are probably like the two younger guys that you would say are kind of maybe the options out there that could have a very long career. But these are very few and far between, especially in today's game, right? I mean, those could be the Craig Kimbrels of the world seem like they could be going away. There just seem to be more Troy Percivals, Jonathan Papelbons, Rob Dibbles back in the day. There just don't seem to be as many pitchers trying to be that anymore.
Troy Percival, 13th all-time in saves. Jonathan Papelbon, 11th all-time
there
in saves.
There you go. See, and what, I mean, and you're absolutely right, Troy, about Edwin Diaz, but what was it about, like, Gagne that was capturing people so much?
I think,
like,
it was a look. He had a look.
Oh,
he played
so right
for a
Dodgers.
He played for a star franchise, and he has more saves in a season than anybody ever. But I don't see him in this top 20.
He actually, I mean, and again, I had to pull it up because it escaped my mind. I mean, K-Rod, Francisco Rodriguez, he has the most in the season with 62.
Jeez.
And he's fourth all time.
So Gagne,
not a Hall of Famer.
Gagne got 55 in a season, and then he got 52. So he had back-to-back 50 save seasons.
He won a Cy Young, too. Also came out on steroids.
I thought you were going to bring that up first when I brought his name up. But Edwin Diaz, he's tied with Bobby Thigpen for the most saves in a season, second most saves in a season with 57. So.
But I guess my question is, you know, just how does this position withstand the test of time? Okay, because we got Mo. We know Mo. Mo is Mo. Has an unhit through one pitch, has an unhittable pitch, and his career ERA. He's a Yankee. His postseason heroics, although he has two really bad blown. I guess part of me is curious, like, is this position and is this stat going to appreciate in value? Because I actually think a closer in baseball is the closest mentally to maybe like a golfer. All right. Think about like Greg Norman. Okay. Great golfer. Fantastic golfer.
Choke artist.
But a choke artist. You know, Brad Lidge gave up a home run to Albert Pujols that I can still see in my brain. And Brad Lidge couldn't close a game for 3 years.
I remember
until he won a World Series with Philly.
I remember so Rob Nemeth like, more for a double than an actual save.
Like Jose Mesa, I want to wring his neck as a Cleveland Indian fan because of 97. Like, it is such a high-pressure situation. It is so much on the line when you're there. Is this something that will appreciate, or will it kind of be like, hey, man, you got one job. Throw strikes and get this thing over with.
Yeah, I think 100%, man. I think that having a surefire closer, I mean, the Vancouver Ford text line says it, a great save guy is needed to keep the big hitters from winning the game. I mean, perfect example literally was last night with Kimbrel. You had bases loaded. Now, granted, you got the bases loaded, but you had Mike Trout. Like,
but that's what
at
I
that
mean.
Point, I'm S-ing my pants like, we're going to blow this. He's going to hit a grand slam.
But that's what I mean.
And then he strikes him out looking, and you're like, dude, that is big balls right there.
But that's
back.
What I mean. But he also put himself in that situation.
Yeah, but he got himself out. He's fine.
Is that what it is? It's like you got out of it, so it's okay how you got here?
In a sense, like, again, like, no closer is going to be perfect all the time, obviously. But even when you are facing that situation where, like, I'm about to blow this, and then you have literally one of the best players of all time, of possibly our generation, step up with bases loaded, and you strike him out looking, it's like not a lot of guys in the closer position can do that year after year after year. And so I think that having a surefire closer, a steady hand like that, like, yeah, it speaks volumes. Like, you, I mean, hell, last year the Orioles had Felix Bautista throwing flames, and you knew that when he was coming in, like, all right,
up, oh, here we go.
Let's head to the car. We got this one wrapped up. Like, I think it's now, I just don't see how in the future, maybe the way that the game is going to be played with the bull, like starting pitchers with five innings, having less pitches overall, and having that bullpen by like committee, having 2, 3, 4 guys you're cycling through night in and night out.
Like matchup based or whatever.
Yeah, but again, having a guy that is like, he can handle right-handed batters, he can handle left-handed batters, and yeah, he has that one pitch, he throws flames, whatever. I don't see where we're going to lose the value in that.
Do you think and we'll get out of here on this, do you think in 20 years we look back at K-Rod, Kenley Jansen, Craig Kimbrel, Billy Wagner, Joe Nathan, Troy Percival, Raleigh Fingers, John Wetland, Fernando Rodney, who's 18th all-time in Houston Street at 20th all-time, about to be passed by Aroldis Chapman. Do you think in 20 years, we who watched a majority of these guys say to ourselves, oh yeah, maybe they should be in the Hall of Fame, or yeah, maybe they were one of the best throwers of a baseball I ever saw.
I don't know. I think you have to be in some rarefied air. Like,
you still think this position is still Mo, Hoffman, Eckersley, who kind of was the pioneer, and the rest, you got to be at that level.
I mean, like, what's to say, like, Kimbrel is not a Hall of Famer? Consistently,
I mean, K-Rod is 4, and he's not a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, and you could say it about Kenley Jansen, too.
Not a Hall of Famer.
Not to me either, but again, like, when you look at him, it's like, yeah, you played on the Dodgers for 10, 11 years. Like, you
Papelbon.
Always, like,
Papelbon, you're on the Red Sox for 3 titles. Congratulations, buddy.
Nobody cares.
And I forget what the qualifications are for the save. It's like, what is it? The tying run can't be on deck.
No, you gotta. It's a 3-run lead or less.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Because basically, yeah, the guy in the hole. If the guy in the hole can tie the game, then
or,
it's a save situation.
Or there is also a save that is 3 innings long. Which actually, it's funny you bring up Dennis Eckersley, because some of his saves, you go look at his stats from back in the day, closers back in the 70s and 80s were 3 inning guys.
Well, yeah, that's why Eckersley is in, because he revolutionized the position. It's like the game in basketball changed because Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Because Steph is like draining threes from God knows where. And that's why you get people like Damian Lillard and Caitlin Clark that can now bust a three from wherever they want because Steph kind of set that precedent. Otherwise, you just be like, oh, Ray Allen's a great three-point shooter. Reggie's a great three-point. Kyle Korver.
The fact, though, that you only have three of these guys in the Hall of Fame, I think shows what the future of these guys show. Like, the value is not getting better, and there are going to be more teams like the Mariners just going closer by committee, matchup-based, whoever that night is, because they don't have to pay that guy $15 million a year.
I can't believe I just went murr about Reggie Miller, my favorite basketball player of all time. All right, when we come back, speaking of...
Also, just, dear God, get him off all NBA playoff broadcasts.
I really
don't mind
him.
For the love of God.
But I'm biased.
My ears are bleeding every time.
All right, when we come back, we'll check in. Is Mike Trout the next Mike Trout? How's he doing? Plus fair or foul in about 15 minutes. It's the Hot Corner. That's Joe Fisher. I'm Patrick Harris. Jordan Schultz behind the glass. 10 of the fans. 8:21 here. That's Joe Fisher. I'm Patrick Harris. We do this every single Tuesday night. I'll be hitting some primetime next week. That'll be fun. Tuesday, Wednesday. So tune into that as the boys are taking a little bit of vacay. I think Suk is going to St. Lucia.
Yeah, sounds made up.
And Rappi is all going to stay local. So I'll be with you on Tuesday, Wednesday for primetime. So stay tuned for that. We got
Didn't the guy just go to Georgia?
I know. I don't want to talk about it. Must be nice. Coming up in 10 minutes or so, 15 minutes or so, we'll do fair or foul. But we've been having a little fun with this, Joe. I think this is one of the more fun things I've been looking forward to over the last few years that we've been doing this show. Is Mike Trout the next Mike Trout? Because, boy, the guy has come back this season, feels like on a heater.
Bigger comeback story than Kim Kardashian.
Like, could Mike Trout win MLB Comeback Player of the Year? Wouldn't that be the craziest thing?
It doesn't feel right.
I'm a three-time MVP, a bona fide Hall of Famer.
Give it to
first
Rendon.
Ballot. Maybe one of the greatest center fielders of all time, next to dudes named Griffey, Mantle, and Mays, and Trout. And I just won Comeback Player of the Year.
It would be hilarious if Rendon did get it, though. Like, if, like, Trout, like, kept up these numbers and Rendon was still, like, pretty decent, they're like, we're going to give it to Anthony Rendon instead. Bummer to hear. The guy's on a 10-day IL.
Oh, you're bummed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sucks.
He
can't do what he loves. He can't do what he loves, play the game of baseball.
He's mad that Medium Joe only had two or three goals tonight. He can't remember which was correct. And then Anthony Rendon is on the 15-day IL.
That big right toe. He was just blasting him over the goal. Get it together, Fisher.
Mike Trout actually has not had a great week. Except for...
No, because that loser struck out with the bases loaded.
Except for today.
To win the game. What an idiot.
Except for today against your O's, Joe. His first leadoff home run since 2020.
I saw you turned it off.
Well, it was getting out of hand. And Logan Webb was throwing a gem, so
they
I wanted
came
to
back
watch
a little
Logan
bit.
Webb.
It's like 7-3.
Could win that game.
We still got a couple innings left.
I didn't know Anaheim had pitchers. You guys ever seen Major League?
Pablo Sandoval?
When Tom Berenger is chasing Rene Russo, and he goes to like the dinner party.
Oh yeah.
And there's those old people, and they're like, "So what do you do?" And he's like, "I'm a catcher for the Cleveland Indians," and they're like, "There's still a baseball team in Cleveland?" Tom Berenger goes, "Yeah, we have uniforms and everything." That's how I feel about Anaheim's pitching staff. They got pitchers? Yeah, they got a bunch of dudes that throw balls.
Patrick Sandoval, not Pablo. Pablo's the panda.
Sandoval was their opening day starter, and he's trash.
I remember that. He got shelled. Poor guy. They were talking to his mom up in the stands, and then like an inning later, he gave up like six runs. It's like... Sorry, Mom. But Mike Trout, very good at baseball. How about that? Good for him, dude, quite honestly. Like, now, the Angels, before tonight, we'll see if they can pull off the win. They've lost five in a row. Do you think if he's having a season like this for a second year in a row, they don't trade their star at the deadline?
Nope, they won't trade Trout.
Nope. You don't think there's something in that front office is like, we effed up last year. We got absolutely nothing for Ohtani, and he left. Left like right down the road too.
How many years do they still have on Trout's contract? Five.
Boo. Let's take a look.
I think if Trout were to be the comeback player of the year, he would not get a haul like he would have 5 years ago or what Otani would have gotten last year.
I was going to say.
But I still think you would get a decent-sized haul.
He's got like 7 years left.
Yeah.
It was a 12-year that signed in 2019.
And if the Rockies
after this year, it'll be like 7 years
left. If the Rockies are willing to trade Nolan Arenado for garbage prospects and eat half the contract.
And give the money. And give the Cardinals money.
Yeah. And give them money. It's possible. I don't see Trout being traded for at least 2 more years. Even if he's comeback player of the year and next year wins the MVP.
Dang. There are so many teams.
They didn't trade Shohei.
I know.
If you're not going to trade Shohei, why would you trade Mike Trout?
I would be shocked if there's like 10 teams not knocking the Angels' door down right now.
What if I told you that I am actively pursuing Mike Trout in a fantasy league? I am willing to trade Dave Robertson, the closer for the Texas Rangers, who's right now probably the best closer in baseball.
He's throwing some nasty stuff down there.
And Evan Carter.
Oh. I mean, he started the year out okay. Is this a keeper?
He's
right?
Batting .233.
Is this a keeper league?
Yeah, and I'm not going to keep Evan Carter. I'm keeping Yordan Alvarez, Jackson Holliday, and George Kirby. Anybody?
Pay no attention to stalling.
Dave Robertson and Evan Carter for Mike Trout?
No.
Yeah, if I were on the other end of that, I'd probably say no.
No.
If I had Trout, be like, eh, sorry, bro.
The way he's playing this year, no.
I think you got to add, like, Simeon or, like, you got to add a third
piece.
So
you guys are telling me that Mike Trout's good this year.
Yeah, very. I'm trying to actually pull up a little bit stat leaders because I wouldn't be surprised if he was leading the league in home runs.
Doesn't have any RBIs because everybody else sucks on the Angels.
Sounds like the Angels to me, yeah.
Got a lot of homers, though.
Hey, it's because Taylor Ward's stealing them all. He's actually fifth in the league with 21 RBIs. He's a RBI moocher. Mike Trout, 8 home runs, second in the league behind Marcell Ozuna. No, I mean, that is a long contract still. So, I mean, 7 years. It's like he's getting paid like $36 million over the next 7 years until 2030. So, I think that if this season keeps going the way it is for the Angels, which is probably how it is going to go, stock's high. Like sell while it's hot.
I can't wait for the deadline. He's got 30 bombs at the deadline.
Literally, if the Angels
be so dope,
the Angels need to trade him. Like again, after last season, like
and go trade him. Like what if Cleveland keeps doing what they're doing right now? I mean, they would never because they don't want that contract. But like their farm system is loaded.
Send him to the Orioles.
Send him their farm system is. Oh God. Oh God.
Take Jackson Holliday.
It would cost it. It would cost it. Well, would you be willing to give it up?
He's not playing very well.
Well, he's like 1 of 32 and now sits against lefties. Trust me, I know. I've got him in 2 fantasy leagues.
Sorry, we just called up Heston.
One's a dynasty, and I'm like, oh, God.
Just called up another young stud.
Took Jackson Holliday in like the 8th round right after Evan Carter, and I'm like, going to hold on to Jackson instead of Evan. I'm like, oh, God.
I would not do that because it's just, I don't know, like, because maybe I'm dumb, but also it's just a matter of, like, we're still only, like, 15 games into the dude's career. Like he literally looks like he just not even graduated high school, still in high school.
Yeah, he's going to like Sadie things. Hawkins in sophomore year.
But he did have one of the worst statistical starts in baseball.
Yeah, he's like 1
history.
Of 31. Yeah, it's really bad.
He's having a Chris Davis-esque start.
All right, when we come back, let's get into Fair or Foul. That's everybody's favorite. First, there's Schultzy with sports.
Is it fair or is it foul?
Fastball tapped at the plate. It'll trickle down the third baseline. The Mariners are going to let it roll.
A knowledge test to see how well they know the big leagues.
Lenny Randle gets down on his hands and knees and blows on it like a curler, and it goes foul.
And what our distinguished hosts think about the stories that popped up around the big leagues.
But he got down on his hands and knees and literally blew the ball across the foul line.
This is Fair or Foul on the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
Shout out to our YouTube kings. Oriole legend Adam Jones. Closers are going the way of the running back in the NFL. They're a dime a dozen. That is kind of true. But the longevity is what I'm kind of interested in. Like, can you keep it going?
You all right over there?
I think so.
He's dying!
I think so. Logan Webb still in the game for the Giants in the top of the eighth with two outs at 102 pitches.
Now that's an old school pitching performance.
Let's
keep him going.
Effing
I
want
to see
bro.
Him go to 120, 130.
That was a bad call.
Do not pull him.
Yeah, let him finish the game. Give
by
him
the
a
way,
game shutout.
Because I feel like that pitch was framed pretty nicely right there by the Giants catcher.
Yeah.
Alejandro Kirk, there was a video going around.
I saw that one, yeah.
Dude, he is like moving his arm before he even catches the ball and just frames pitches.
It's really impressive.
I'm like, what a turn.
It's
but
really
I absolutely
impressive.
Love it. Playing catcher for the little time I did during my youth and high school, framing pitches was like one of my most favorite things.
It's pretty cool.
Because if you can just snag it and put it right there in the box.
And convince someone that they didn't see what they saw.
Yes. Umpires yeah. ripping the phone book all because of you, baby. Let's go.
All right. This is Fair or Foul, everybody's favorite. Without further ado, we'll turn it over to our fantastic producer, Schultzy.
All right. Let's try to stump you guys. I am kind of shocked at how good the Mariners have played, turned it around the last couple of weeks since their terrible start to the season.
So are the Mariners.
Fangraphs now has them with the best odds to win the AL West. It is shocking, but I'm excited. Whoop, whoop. They did get the win 4-0 today. To
Gilbert
start
looked good. Gilbert
against
looked
Texas.
Good.
Oh, my God. Yes, he did.
Hey, you just wait for my Astros to turn it around.
What is Colorado Rockies?
Boy, that preseason prediction of them winning the division, not looking good. Now they've officially given up the most runs in the American League.
How's Chris Bryant doing?
Who?
Yeah, exactly. But anyways, the Mariners doing great. So good, in fact, that their World Series odds have actually increased a little bit, money-wise, decreased a little bit, however you want to look at it. But fair or foul, guys, as of today, the Seattle Mariners have the 7th best odds to win the World Series. Fair or foul, I am getting my odds from Bovada.com.
The 7th best odds?
Fair or foul, yes.
Patrick? He's counting. He's pulling a Mike Francesco over there. One, two,
I'm going to go with foul. I think they're close. But I got the Orioles, Braves, mm-hmm. Phillies,
Dodgers,
Cubs,
probably still
Dodgers,
odds.
Rangers.
Yeah.
I'm starting
That's
to split
it.
Hairs here. I'm starting to split hairs here. I would love to say Cleveland, but no way. But I'll say the Yankees, because for some reason, the bettors love the Yankees. And that's 7 right there. So I'll say foul, but close.
Yeah, and I'm trying to even think of someone in the NL Central. Like, I don't know if the Cubs. Maybe the Cubs would have better. I'm going to say foul that they're like 8th or 9th.
Yeah.
I'm right there with Patrick because, yeah, there's going to be a couple teams above them, but probably don't deserve it. So I'm saying foul. They're in that 8-9 range.
You guys nailed it. Both of you guys are correct. It is foul. They are actually, Joe, on the nose, tied for the 8th best odds.
Hey, I said 8 Cleveland, or 9.
Cleveland,
Hedge
Cleveland,
my bets there.
Cleveland, Cleveland, Cleveland.
They are tied with the Blue Jays, actually, at plus 2,000. So here, let me lay this out for you guys. Dodgers, Doyers, plus 300. Atlanta Braves, plus 350. Yanks, plus 750. Orioles, plus 850. Astros, this is a surprising one to me, plus 900. Rangers, plus 1,300. Phillies, plus 14. And then Mariners and Blue Jays. Your Guardians, plus 3,000, tied with the Arizona Diamondbacks.
The best record in the American League, Cleveland Guardians. My Guardians.
Still some good money, I think. Plus 3,000? I don't know.
They're not.
I'm trying to pull up we can get to the next one, but I want to look up fan graphs because they have those kind of like win World Series percentages for the league. So I'll get that pulled up to see what fan graphs thinks.
All right, fair or foul number 2, try to stump y'all again. Marcelo Ozuna and Mike Trout, you were just talking about him having a ton of homers. So let's talk about their homers. Marcelo Ozuna and Mike Trout have more homers than the entire Colorado Rockies roster combined. Fair or foul, Ozuna and Trout have more whammies than the entire Rockies roster combined.
I know he's beat more women than the Colorado Rockies. Hey-o!
Jeez, rough. He has 9. Trout has 8.
Excuse me, he looks really hot.
That's 17. The You're Rockies.
It's hard to get down the throat.
It is. Sort of gagging here on this question.
I just get off at weird times. Doesn't have a huge load either.
I'm going to say that the Rockies
always get you.
Don't have a huge load either. I'm going to say fair. Gosh, they do have Coors Field. You know what? Sticking with my guns. Fair. Marcell Ozuna and Mike Trout have more home runs than the Colorado Rockies.
Oh, without a doubt. I'm fully fair on this. I think the Rockies are super bad.
Coors.
Not White Sox bad, but I think they're super bad.
To start the day, it was fair. They did hit a home run in their game today, so technically they are tied with them. Oh, but to start the day,
push.
It was fair. No, I came in saying this was fair, so I'll give it to you guys. It started the day fair, and actually, they are not the only team Ozuna and Trout are better than. It is the Rockies with 17, the Cardinals with 16, and the White Sox with 12. So they are literally as good or better than the last three teams in baseball at hitting home runs right now.
You can put it on the ball!
Speaking of Coors Field, crazy stat that I saw last night.
Coors Field.
Dylan Cease is the first pitcher in Coors Field history to complete at least seven innings, allowing one or no hits and issuing zero walks. Damn.
Pretty impressive.
Good. I mean,
he
Coors
looks
Field,
like an ace.
Coors Field, what? We're going on like 30 years?
Yeah, if you are a pitcher for the Rockies, you can't pitch in Coors Field. But if you're a visitor, you seem to have no problems.
Coors Field built in 1995. So, yeah, we're going on 30 years next year.
Been there. Beautiful stadium. Wonderful place to watch a game.
I still don't know what their philosophy is as a team.
Wonderful place to watch a game.
Yeah, they invented Blue Moon there, didn't they?
Hey, they re-signed Bud Black. Why not? Let's go.
What is their philosophy as a team? What are they? Do they lean into pitching? They signed Cal Quantrill from Cleveland, right? Like, what are they doing?
Also, Fangraphs, Mariners with the sixth best percentage to win the World Series at 4.8%.
And he hasn't had a hit in ever, Jerry.
That would actually mean the plus 2,000 bet is giving you some equity there.
4.8%. The team right above them at 5.1%, the Astros. Ooh,
talk to me about equity in baseball. It's like a mortgage. Well, let's go.
It's more so, I mean, it's equity, but also I would say one of the worst bets you can place is futures bets, like to win the West or to win the World Series, because the sportsbook holds your money for so long. All right, guys, fair or foul number three. Let's dive into that Aaron Boone ejection. If you've been living under a rock, he was tossed after the fourth pitch of the game against the Oakland Athletics because Hunter Wennerstedt, home plate umpire, thought that he was yelling at him. It was actually a fan right above the dugout. Yeah.
It was me. Called it in.
Absolutely. We saw you on TV. You looked great. So, guys, fair or foul, MLB needs to address the current problems with umpires and, at the minimum, make them face the media in the postgame like everyone else. I'm not talking a pool reporter. Fair or foul, I'm talking about making them face the media like players, like managers and coaches, like all of us that we see others in sports have to do.
You know, I say foul because there's no sport where referees, officials, whatever, have to speak. And I think the concept still remains, and I still support this concept, that umpires, referees, officials, whatever sport you're playing, should not be a part of what's going on. They're there to just kind of keep the chaos intact.
A guiding hand for the game.
Now, I would like to see more accountability when things go awry. However, I think if you put Angel Hernandez on the stand, nobody's ever seen a game called the way I call the game. I see the strike zone better than anybody.
That's more Joe West, I would say.
I just feel like they're going to be forced to stick up for themselves and now be bigger than the game. And I don't want that. I know, like, NFL referees or NFL officials, like, why did you miss that pass interference call? Like, what's the guy going to say? Like, we missed it. Cool. You going to kill me for it? Or he's going to say, no, I believe that was not a pass interference. And then Cowherd's going to talk for 4 hours why the Cowboys should be in the Super Bowl, even though they lost in the first round. Like, I'm cool with officials being unknown. I think it's sad that I know three baseball umpires. Like, I don't want to know your name. I don't. The EPL is really bad right now. VAR is an S show. And there are serious problems in that situation. And I know too many English Premier League referees, and I don't want to know any of your names.
Well, that's embarrassing. I'm going to say foul as well. I wish, because it's kind of difficult because they don't have like a last 2 minutes like the NBA does. Maybe if there was a last three innings or something like that, if there is a big call, missed a strike ball, because, I mean, we just saw that happen with the Rockies-Mariners game the other night. A missed
like
call.
There's bad calls in that, and it costs games.
Yeah, so maybe I wouldn't be opposed to maybe like a last three innings report or like a last two innings
report. I do like the NBA does the last 2 minutes, but I don't need to see the guys on stage.
No, it would be kind of funny to see Angel Hernandez catch some heat at like a press conference.
Oh, what kind of questions would reporters ask him? So why do you suck?
Yeah, I think that would happen just about every night. I say no. Because also, like, this all happened in the first inning with Boone. Like, there's a lot of other things that happen throughout the game that the umpire has a decision on, innings 2 through 9, that I think I would care about more about, like, you thought you heard something from Boone and you ejected him, but it wasn't, like, I don't really care. I don't need an explanation. We saw it. You effed up. You thought you heard him. You didn't. Boone got ejected. Game goes on.
What's Joyce going to say when he denies the imperfect game? Like, what's Joyce going to say? Yeah, I messed up. Or I thought he was safe.
See, and that's kind of what
either way, you're just going to blow it at that. That's like media garbage.
Well, also, the last 2 minutes thing with NBA, it just kind of pisses people off more because they're like, yep, we effed up. And it's just like, yeah, we know. Why didn't you get it right the first time?
Headline on ESPN.com, top headline, NBA. Maxi fouled twice during chaotic sequence. Cool. Are we changing the game?
No.
Nope. It's just like, hey, we screwed up, and now we want you to talk about it more.
Yeah. So, foul. I declare a foul.
All right. I mean, I have one more if you have time. Yeah, let's go one more. All right, guys, fair or foul? Julio Rodriguez started the year off pretty bad for the Mariners, but has recently rebounded to hit almost 300. And I have been watching a lot of Bobby Witt Jr. lately. Oh, my goodness. Bobby Witt Jr. for the Royals. I mentioned him in the last hour. Go find the podcast anywhere you can get him if you missed it. But those two players are two of the leading crop of young talent in MLB. And I've seen a lot of people on Twitter saying Bobby's better than Julio. I'm a little biased because I'm a Mariners fan. So fair foul, guys. Bobby Witt Jr., Kansas City Royals shortstop, is a better player than Mariners center fielder Julio Rodriguez.
Sample size needs to be a little bit bigger, but in that sample size, Bobby Witt has shown he's the real deal. The guy, I mean, he did not start off slow. He's been showing it the entire season. He showed it towards the back half of last year as well. I will say at the moment foul, but in due time fair.
Okay, I like that. Let's see, 11.9 career WAR so far for Julio, 6.8 career WAR for Bobby, but their stats are so similar. I think it's just like the defensive runs saved that Julio's WAR is kind of increasing in size.
Yeah, you're talking about the no-fly zone.
Yeah.
The no-fly zone is a pretty big deal. I'm a big fan of the no-fly zone. Boy, it's tough. There was something about Bobby Witt that I just didn't quite believe in. I don't know if it was a Royals thing or what, but there was something about him that I just wasn't quite sold on, and boy, am I wrong on that. Bobby Witt is very good. I think in the end of the day, I have to believe Julio's the better player. And I think it's because twofold. One, there aren't stud outfielders anymore. There really aren't. We grew up with stud outfielders. The 50s and the 40s and the 60s and the 80s and the 90s had stud outfielders. We don't have that now. So part of me really wants to lean Julio. I think Julio has the tools to be better than Bobby. I think Bobby Witt has the better brain right now. I think Julio chases too much. I think he tries too much. I think he feels the weight of the world on his shoulders as the Mariners are in a win now and the Royals are more of in a building process. I'm going to say foul. I think Julio's the better player, but I am hesitant to say that, and that makes me sad.
Well, you're wrong.
Thanks, Joe.
You're wrong.
Thanks, Joe. All right, that is Fair or Foul. We do it every single Tuesday. Ooh, almost did it. Every single Tuesday at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour, we come back, we'll wrap this bad boy up. Hot corner, today, the fan. You know, I was looking at some stuff, Joe. We were talking about this a little bit.
I like stuff.
There's no secret that Jose Abreu is just god-awful. What, he's batting 0.065?
Yeah. .065.
.065. Yeah, not 650. he is god-awful right now. But let me wager you this, all right? I'm watching this Giants-Mets game right now, which is in the top of the ninth. 5-1. Mets are on the board. Melvin getting a little shaky, bringing in the closer. What's his name? Doval. And but I kind of watched. I saw Frankie Lindor came up to bat for the Mets. So for a little funsy here, let me ask you a question. If Jose Abreu for the Astros is batting 0.065, is that worse or less alarming than Frankie Lindor, who makes $30 million a year in New York, batting 176?
I would say, well, I don't know how much Jose Abreu makes, but I'm going to assume that it's like 10 to 15, somewhere in that range. Yeah. I'm going to say.
And he was really good in the playoffs last year. Like, he didn't have a great season, but he came on for the Astros and was a big reason why they were there.
Yeah, I'm going to say less concerned because there's a lot of other concerns for the Astros at the moment, like that pitching. So I'm going to say, yeah, less concerning.
Frankie Lindor batting 176. There was a moment on this show where I told you my favorite player in baseball, not named Mike Trout, was Frankie Lindor.
That's almost as bad as Jackson Holliday.
What happened to that?
Well, it is. Almost. Yeah, no, Jackson Holliday, he does have a hit, by the way, so suck on that.
A lot of crappy shortstops. Yeah, it's not just Lindor. Tonight. It's Story. It's Javi Baez for the Detroit Tigers.
I was going to say, Javi Baez but is like just, batting like 150.
I just don't understand how Frankie fell so far. You know what
New
I mean?
New York. He was the center, other than Pete Alonso. He was like one of the top guys expected to like be a 35 home run hitter.
He was the guy before Pete Alonso.
Exactly.
Yeah, that scares me.
Well, at least Steve Cohen now has learned that you can't just buy a World Series.
No, you can't.
Especially in today's day and age, which, you know what, like, you got to love that. You got to love in today's day and age.
Well, yeah, pie in the face. It's kind of like the Clippers. Like, I hope the Clippers get swept. You know, I mean, they won't get swept because they won last night, but I hope they lose. Because I don't like this idea of just like, oh, we have Paul George, James Harden, and Kawhi Leonard, and so we're going to win. Or the Suns. It's like, nah, man, you got to build.
Yeah. I am, as I get older, you gotta win the right way. That's how I start to feel more and more. So acquiring stars and names and paying for it and going over right. Luxury tax, obviously that's not the case in baseball, but yeah, I hear you. Javi Baez, hey, he's above 200 now.
It's better than Frankie Lindor. Did you know that Javi Baez and Frankie Lindor played shortstop and second base in Puerto Rico together growing up?
I did not. I did not either.
I was at I was at Game 1 and Game 2 of the World Series in 2016, and in Game 2, Javi Baez for the Cubs stole second base, and there was Javi and Frankie, like, looking at each other like, dude, they like, the name on the front of the jersey didn't matter. They looked at each other. They were like, bro, we're in the World Series. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool story that those guys grew up together and played in the World Series, and now they both suck.
It would be cooler if they were the adopted brother of Bo Nix, though.
It would be cool. Yeah. Did you know that he's the adopted brother of Bo Nix? Thanks, Jerry.
Tez Johnson, now adopted by Dillian Gabriel next season. Keep the story going.
Thanks, Jerry.
Hey.
Legend.
Keep Jerry's Jerry name Allen. Out your mouth, all right? Yeah.
Legend, Jerry Allen. All right, that'll do it for us. We'll see you next time. Thanks for tuning in. Shout out to the YouTube people in the Vancouver Ford text line. For Joe Fisher, Jordan Schultze, I'm Patrick Harris. Go do something. I would do.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.